You see this, right? I hope you're watching. Like a mother hen. We sometimes think that it's a feminine image or name for God, but it's a metaphor. And whether you're an aunt or an uncle, a mom or a dad, a grandma or a grandpa, or whether you're a part of God's kingdom through the sacrament of holy baptism, and therefore you are, by the grace of God, called to be family to the little ones, shepherds take care of the sheep. And the family of God, they are endowed with a mothering gift. Moms and dads, the entire family of God, it's our privilege and it's our joy to mother. Do you know the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long and life may be good in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And Martin Luther, when he was asked, what does this mean for us, responded in the Small Catechism, we are to fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and others in authority, but respect, obey, love, and serve them. To honor someone is to respect, obey, love, and serve them. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, no one is poor if they have a godly mother. And it was also Abraham Lincoln who said, I remember the prayers of my mother and how those prayers have followed me and how they have kept me. All that I am or ever hope to be, Lincoln writes, I owe to my angel mother. An angel, a messenger from God. Mothers are called to be angels, messengers of God, teaching the faith of Jesus to the little ones. I'm told that this past week, I don't know how long it lasts for, but it's teacher celebration, teacher recognition, appreciation. Teacher appreciation, huh? Well, teachers are called to be mothers in the classroom. To children that are not related to them, maybe by geography or by blood, but simply by virtue of their God-given calling. A teacher in the classroom was teaching her students fractions. The topic was math. And so the question was a simple one. Mom, dad, five kids in the family. A pie is made and cut into pieces. What portion does each one receive? And a boy raised his hand and said, 1/6. And the teacher said, you don't know your fractions. And the boy looked at his teacher and said, you don't know my mama. Because my mama will cut that pie into 6 pieces and she'll say that she doesn't want any herself, so that the rest of us can have a bigger piece. Jesus says, how often would I have gathered you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But because of sin, the gladness of marriage can be overcast and the gift of family can become a burden. But because God continues to bless and enrich, joy can be restored. Joy can be restored. I want to tell you about Betty. Betty LeClercus. She was in my parish as one of the sheep entrusted to my care, one of the chicks entrusted to the brooding, if you will, of a pastor. Now, Betty, when she was 19, 20 years old, second year of college, she was diagnosed because of a lump on her neck with Hodgkin's disease sometime in the 1970s. And the only treatment they could give to her was an extreme dose of cobalt radiation. And there was a 50% chance that she would survive. And she did. At age 20, she survived, And then this April of 2017, so a little over a year ago, April 26th, Betty, at the age of 62, passed away because of all the complications that came with that extreme dose of radiation and what it did to her other organs. She had had, in 2016, a heart valve replacement, then needed another one, but with the accumulation of fluids in her lungs, she was too weak to have the surgery. Now, Betty, who survived Hodgkin's disease as a 20-year-old, married a man by the name of Mark, who was not a husband, who was abusive and who was wicked and evil. And by the grace of God, she was able to get out of that marriage. And then by the grace of God, her joy was restored when she met a man by the name of Duane Kuss. And then God blessed the two of them and their marriage when she thought she would never have any children with two kids. Sam, I baptized him. He's 24 now. Lily would be 21 now. I remember a conversation that I had with Betty. She invited me to walk alongside her when she was healing and recovering from years of abuse in a bad, sick marriage. And then when she got married, I was at her wedding and baptized their son. And then she had to make a decision, because Betty was a special ed teacher. And she decided to take a leave of absence. And evidently in the school system, you can do that for like maybe 5, 7 years, something like that. And then you have to return. But you can be gone, and you don't lose your tenure, and you don't lose your position, your rank. So she did that. And then the years had passed, and one day she said, "Can you come out and pray with me?" And I went out to visit and to pray with Betty, and she said, "They've notified me that if I want my position back, I need to go back to teaching." And she said, "All of my friends have been saying, well, you don't want to just stay at home and just be a mom, do you? You don't want to stay at home and just be a mom, do you?" And then she looked at me and a tear was cascading down her cheek and she said, "Pastor Dave, I've always wanted to be a mom, and when I didn't think it was ever going to be possible, God surprised me with two beautiful children." And she said, "There's nothing I love more than being a mom. I love being a mother and raising my kids to know Jesus and love Jesus." She said, "We don't have as much money with one income. But," she said, "life is simpler, and we just pack a picnic and we put the kids in a wagon and we go on little trips. And I love my life." And I remember looking at Betty and saying, "You know, there was a time when if women worked outside the home, we condemned them and said, 'You're not a very good mother.' I said, now the pendulum has switched, and if a person wants to be a stay-at-home mom and work there, we condemn them as being unfulfilled or not a real liberated woman." I said, "It's kind of sad, isn't it?" And so we prayed together, asking for God's guidance. And Betty, her whole life, used her musical gifts in the church and raised her two children to love the Lord and to sing praises to His glory. We lost touch with each other when I got a call out to Tacoma, Washington, and they moved from Little Falls to Cold Spring, Ricori area. And then when I moved back here, oh, I suppose now it was about 3 years ago, all of a sudden there was a Facebook message. And here was Betty, and I saw that she was in the hospital and she was waiting and hoping to get strong enough for her surgery. And her son Sam had graduated from college, and so she had posted a picture. And so I did one of those little responses. I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I'm glad that I saw that one. And I said, what an amazing life you have given your two kids. I said, I remember the day that God gave me the joy of baptizing Sam into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then she responded back and she said, Pastor Dave, you would be so proud of the young man that Sam has become in the Lord. In the Lord. And so I grieve the loss of a wonderful, exceptional woman of faith like Lois and Eunice, who were Timothy's grandma and mother. And I know that this is Mother's Day weekend. And I know that this is a time of sorrow and sadness for a lot of people. I mean, if you did a survey, you would find out that Mother's Day or being invited to a baby shower is not something that all women look forward to. And if you've known people as I have known people over the course of my walk of ministry, who have wrestled with infertility, who have delivered a stillborn, who have suffered many miscarriages, who have experienced SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, or who have buried a small child because of an accident of the farm or some other crisis, then you know that this particular weekend can be a painful time of memory for a lot of people. But we also know that God created us male and female and gave not only to creation, but through the womb of the church and the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, God has given us a second birth. And God has given us a family that is not just biological, but is united through the blood of Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, no one is ever barren. In Christ Jesus, no one is ever barren. And all of us are called to be the aunts and the uncles and the grandmas and the grandpas and the moms and the dads of our spiritual offspring in the church. That's the beauty of the sacrament of holy baptism, which is not a past hocus pocus, but a day after day after day promise keeping. In our first reading for tonight, the people of God, the Israelites, are in exile in Babylon. And they're wondering if there is any hope left. In despair, they're wondering if there's any future left. Now, they know that they are in exile because of their own willful sin. They know that. But they wonder, has the Lord forgotten us? Has the Lord forsaken us? And so God sends a word to his people. A word of hope, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. God sends it through the lips of the prophet Isaiah. And this is what God declares. Can a mother forget the child that nurses at her breast? Hard to imagine, isn't it? Perhaps. I mean, we read about it in the news. But thus says the Lord, I will not forget you. I will not forsake you. Want proof? See, behold, look, pay attention. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And your walls are continually before me. I know who you are and I know where you live, says the Lord. You see, Betty LeClaire Cousse's children, they know that their mother was a gift of God who taught them the faith of Jesus. And so they know where their mother is. And they know that they too, by God's grace and mercy, in the name of Jesus, have had their names and their lives engraved on the palms of our merciful Lord. When I was growing up in New Richmond, Wisconsin, I was taught that this is God's brood, the church, the family of God. And there was a woman that became a friend of the family named Annis Fredrickson. Now, Annis was, in the eyes of the world, single her whole life. But in the eyes of a young man like myself, Annis had way more children than you could even begin to number. She worked in the pharmacy portion of the local grocery store in New Richmond, Wisconsin. And she got 2 weeks of vacation every year. Every Sunday morning, she was teaching Sunday school. And during one of the 2 weeks of her vacation that she got each year, you know what she was doing? She was teaching her kids in vacation Bible school. Annis knew that if you have the faith of Jesus, you are never barren. You got plenty of kids to take care of because mothering is a gift of God. When I was in Lake Lillian, my first parish, shortly after I arrived, I met a woman by the name of Barb Preslica. And immediately, she was there to clean the church. It was her week. And she starts going on and on and on and on, didn't take a breath, about her family. And finally, when she took a breath, I said, "Wow, you must really love your family." And she said, "Pastor, I'd do anything for my family." And I looked at her and I said, "Good, because we're family." I love it when people come right out and say, "I'll do everything for my family." Because if they're a child of God, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, if they have the faith of Jesus, if they confess that Jesus is Lord, I know that they and me, that we are family. There's a woman named Jan Jacobson, and she and her husband, Russell, in Lake Lillian, adopted my wife and I and eventually our three kids. Joshua, he was a piece of Montana born on our year of internship. And then Jenna and Rachel, they were born in Rice Hospital in Wilmer when I was serving my first parish. And Jan, a lot of times on a Sunday morning, I mean, they'd always have us out like at Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff because they knew that we weren't able to get away to be with our biological family. So, of course, we were with our church family. And so here I am leading worship and preaching and stuff, and my wife has a newborn and a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Yeah, good luck with that, right? I mean, sometimes it's challenging enough with just one, right? But Jan knew that. And so she'd say, "Joshua, Jenna, get back here. You're sitting with Grandma Jan today." And then one day, Jan Jacobson looked at me and she said, "You know, Pastor, I'm really upset with you." I said, "What's up?" She said, "You know how whenever there's a baptism, it's really cute. I mean, it used to be just so cute. But now it bothers me. Because every time there's a baptism, you say, and so I ask the congregation here assembled, do you promise to help fulfill these responsibilities?" And suddenly I realize, baptism is really a big deal. If somebody's not bringing a baptized child to church, I need to go out there and get my little brother or my little sister. Yeah. You see what baptism does to us? Makes us part of the brood. Makes us part of the fold. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the mother hen who just wants to spread her wings and save us from harm, from the evil one. A little boy was growing up on a farm, and one day he heard this terrible squawking. And he ran outside and he saw a chicken hawk was going after one of those mother hens and just mercilessly going after it. And he grabbed the biggest stick he could find. He ran there because he was going to beat that chicken hawk off. And by the time he got there, then the chicken hawk scattered and flew away. And there was that mother hen, bleeding, wounded, and dead. And this little boy thought, why? Why wouldn't she have just gone a few feet away into the protection of the chicken coop? And then his answer came. Crawling out from underneath of the dead carcass of the mother hen, four little chicks. And each one was covered with blood. The blood of the mother hen. Your house is forsaken, Jesus says. You go and tell that fox Herod, he doesn't have to come looking for me. I'm going to come knocking right at his door. And he does. And on the cross, he dies for the sins of the world, like a mother hen saving her chicks. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His first miracle, John chapter 2, he was a mama's boy, you know. And his mother Mary said, son, they have no wine. Yeah, but that's not our concern, Mom. She looks at the servants and says, you just do whatever he tells you. You listen to my boy. You just do whatever he tells you. And he turns water into wine, and he reveals his glory. And the disciples believe. And at the end, when he is hanging on the cross, do you remember what he does? His beloved disciple is down there. His mother is there. And he transacts an adoption on Good Friday from the cross like a mother hen. And he says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And from that day, John the Beloved, he took Mary, the mother of our Lord, under his wings. And she did the same for him. The mothering gift of God. Those who have faith in Jesus, like Grandma Lois and like Mother Eunice, pass that faith on to their children, like Timothy, whose father wasn't a believer. But if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, you know what Paul says? To Timothy, my beloved child. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. Blessed Mother's Day weekend to you and to yours. And may God give you the grace of Jesus to keep mothering others in the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able.